gotta move it, move it. You gotta move it. Hello, hello, hello. I caught you off guard, huh? You were not paying attention, like always. Like you're over there.
Like always, Mom?
Yeah, I'm always like the one that has to keep you on track to make sure that you're making sure that you're focused and in awareness.
Would you stop?
Look, we've had a tumultuous, you and I have had a tumultuous week. And I don't necessarily always agree with what you're doing. And we have a little bit of a fan base here. There's a ruckus in the studio because we got people left and right wanting to be part of this.
Not even
freaking
the kitchen.
And they don't want to do that. What they want to do is come argue with you because you are the living.
Mother, I believe you're the only one that's arguing right now. So relax, okay?
That's true. I am the only one that's arguing. But it's because we have a very sensitive subject to talk about. And I think I'm just ready to just go at it with whoever wants to go differently. I mean, I know that's not very Christ consciousness or God.
So you're attached to your beliefs? You can't let go to anything?
Actually, I'm not attached to any of my beliefs. I feel like...
So then why, if I have something different, then why are you coming at me, huh?
I'm not coming at you. What I'm saying is that I love a great debate. And I love to be able to... When I hear stuff, I still question it. I don't care if you have a PhD from Harvard. I'm still going to question you, you know? I'm still going to ask questions because... You know, like I was telling our accountant the other day, I know to you it doesn't matter if I understand things or not, but to me it matters. You know, I need to be able to understand.
What do you mean it doesn't matter that
Because when you deal with an expert, they want to do their job and they don't want to bother you with the stuff that you shouldn't care or know about. That's not the way my brain works. My brain works in the way where I have to understand it in order for me to accept it. And so I was asking a lot of extra questions because I wanted to think through the mind of an accountant, you know? I wanted to understand it. And he's like, he almost said like, well, if you need more time, you know, I'm going to start charging you more by the hour. But it's just because I wanted to understand it, right? That's
I never said there's anything wrong about questioning everything. You're doing that. You're coming off quite the turd, Mother.
I know, seriously. We have a lot of commotion going on right here. Lots of commotion going on right here. So how was your week? I mean, we were gone last week. I was out of town with our beautiful Damien. He has his friend William here. William Shakespeare, who ate some really spicy food today, and he really enjoyed it. He said, "Did you like the way that tasted, or how was it?"
It was good.
Oh, it was good. I like that. See? When Mama gets good, she's very proud.
My mom just needs another ego boost.
I do. I need my ego. I want Damien to tell everyone how good my cooking was tonight.
She's a really good cook, and it was really good today.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for that. I'll pay you guys later, okay?
I got you.
I got you in the front right now.
That's fine.
I got you. I like having my little fan club here. It's kind of nice. To boost your ego.
I don't think they're much of a fan club. They're just residents of the house.
Well,
no,
but they're here during the show, so that officially makes them fan clubs, you know?
Okay.
Think it is.
Okay.
So the week was awesome because I got to spend it with my beautiful sisters and lots of changes, lots of awesome announcements, like we said, but I guess it's not time for the announcements. But I don't care because to me, I just learned 4 days driving with my dad in the car 10 hours to get to San Francisco was actually bliss. I mean, the conversations me and that guy had were like insanity. It went all the way from raising children to the promiscuity of society to politics to the corruption of religion and way back to relationships. You know, we hit every point, 10 hours on the way over there. He drove. I was in trouble because he yelled at me because I stayed out late, and he was like, "You drive," and I was like, "I don't want to, Dad, I'm tired." And then on the way back, I drove all the way and just made sure he was comfortable, you know, so I helped him out.
So you redeemed yourself, you restarted your...
I didn't do it on purpose. I really don't like, if I don't want to drive, I won't drive, but before I used to fall asleep, I couldn't even make it 15 miles, and I would fall asleep in the car, and now I can drive really long hours. Like, it's something that's changed within me. I think it's not within me. It's obviously my body and my awareness and my consciousness has changed so that it prohibits me from falling asleep. Regardless, the point is that spending those 20 hours in the car with my dad was priceless, and it was something that I honestly, the only times he fell asleep, I was kind of like just thinking of a monopoly of a business to build that's going to just change the world. But when he would wake up, I would start going at it at him with him because he's a very argumentative person. You know how he is. talk about somebody who doesn't want to change his views. Like, and sometimes he just makes them up as he's speaking, literally. But he literally will, it doesn't matter. As long as he is contradicting you and causing up a storm, then he's happy. And that's why he's at parties and everybody loves him because he's like that.
Yeah, you get a lot of traits from him.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
He's like the best ever. Grandma's on vacation, so we really miss her and sending her a healing light as she's not feeling good right now. She has a really bad cold. So love you, Mama. But, you know, it was great to spend time with Gaddy and the 4 days that I spent with my sisters and my nieces just was beyond words. I'm just so grateful, you know, that regardless of the distance, you're still able to still stay so close. I mean, we text each other like 5 million times a day, but it's not enough, you know, when you're so close to someone. So we skipped the week, but we're back stronger than ever talking about something that could be, I guess, interpreted as controversial in a sense, because from the believers, and then also from the non-believers, perhaps something like "duh," like what kind of shit are you guys talking about? You know.
All right. So this title of the episode extremely like people have fought in wars for thousands of years. I'm not coming into like try to solve and make you give this certain belief. I'm just trying to express my opinion on the source of the creation.
This is definitely not something that you can wrap up in a podcast. I think what I want to do is just kind of bounce ideas back and forth to you. You know, I picked up The Future of God by Deepak Chopra again. I started reading it, and that's how I got to meet him one-on-one in June and actually go practice the primordial meditation and the seduction of spirit. I'll be there for 3 days just studying under him and his team. But the reason was because I read, again, The Future of God. Not read, I have you can't call it reading when it's an audio book, right? Yeah. But I've been listening to it again. And the reason I've been listening to it again is because it's one of those manuscripts that it depends on your state of consciousness and as to what you really absorb. You know, I don't know about you, but I could read one book today that means so much that like 10 years ago meant nothing. Or 5 years ago meant nothing, or
definitely
2 years ago, like when the student is ready.
Everything's ready when you're ready to accept that moment.
Yeah, it's like a Course in Miracles, you know. I've never been so committed to anything like as I am to that, which I want to say something really quick. You know, during this trip, I had days where I did not practice my lessons. I had 2 days at least because I was so busy. You know, I would wake up in the morning, and when I'm talking busy, I'm talking about just spending time. You know, I was cooking for my family, which I love to do because my mom wasn't there and stuff like that. So when I was driving back, one thing that did catch me right away was like, oh my God, you missed 2 days of your lessons. You know, you didn't really study them completely. And I was starting to feel guilty. And I was like, oh my God, like what the hell? You were so committed and this and that. But what's crazy is that right after that, I read this article from Ram Dass that talked about the danger of over information, like overindulging your mind information, and always seeking and finding something to fill the voids of where you're at instead of just practicing the art of being, right?
Mm.
So it was crazy how timely it was as to when I was feeling that, because then I started to realize that, you know, that the words that are in any book, including the Bible, including A Course in Miracles, including whatever,
including our words
that we're saying right now, they're just symbols.
I'm not comparing myself to those books, but all these words,
they're symbols though. The teachers are symbols. But what really matters is what you actually practice on a day-to-day basis, you know?
Something that you experience directly.
Right. So to me, it was more important to, instead of being reading my stuff, than to actually be present with my family, you know?
And use all the stuff that you already learned for that day.
Exactly. So when challenges arise, because they do,
oh,
you know, when I came home, I told them, you know what? The number one thing that I miss of hanging out with you guys is our dysfunctionality. You know, the screaming at each other because we lost a phone charger, the stress of putting together a 6-year-old's birthday party while at the same time my sister was buying a car. It was just, there was a lot of emotions going on, plus the fact that we hadn't seen each other for a couple of months, and for us, that's a long time. So being able to be still and present and to be able to practice it is really the truth. So in essence, all of us really don't need any additional symbols, words, readings, personal development, whatever you want to call it. What it takes now is finding your own true path and living it day to day. And so I felt really at peace with what had happened. So I was starting to feel guilty, but then God delivered. God, here we go. God. So this is where the story is coming now. You know, reading the future of God. I love the book that Deepak Chopra wrote because he's literally turning the story onto God. And he's saying, you know what? You don't answer all of our prayers. There's war. There's starvation. There's evil. There's this and that. Do you even really exist? And the reason he's doing that is because we have so many well-known, super intelligent scientists that are considered atheists, I guess you would say, but basically do not believe in God, who
are materialists,
who are literally spreading the word about, you know, God doesn't exist. And so after reading his book, obviously he's a scientist because he's a doctor, but he's also on the spiritual side, which really is a perfect combination for me, which is why I love him so much. But he really puts it out there, and he starts asking and questioning, but at the same time putting together this compilation of just evidence and proof that really science cannot change. And I think it has to do with the state of where we're at right now.
What do you mean by cannot change?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, what do you mean?
Cannot change what?
You just said that I cannot change.
That cannot change what? Like,
oh my God, never mind.
That, no, it's not that it cannot change, it's just
you said that.
Yeah, but it had to do with what?
I don't know. All right,
let's just forget that.
Oh my.
So the book really delves into looking at both sides and really asking God, like, you better step it up because people are losing faith in you, you know? People are like, who are you? Like, really, do you even really exist? And I think it has to do a lot with what he did say was a lot of people, the consciousness awareness of religion, right? Like seeing the Catholic priests rape younger people, you know, or kids, I'm sorry. Or you see Islam murdering to keep their faith in God. You see the wars that are happening around. You see starvation. Look what happened in Maryland, you know. Have you been following that?
I've seen like some stuff on the news. I haven't like focused all on it, but I know I'm pretty sure I have like a good overview of what's going on. I think.
Yeah, I mean, us going into the gym now, we see it. Otherwise, I would have. Well, actually, Facebook did a really good job with the mom beating her son, which honestly, I don't agree with. I think that the reason that he is there causing violence is because there's violence at home, you know. And sometimes, I mean, my parents when I was little, they hit me, and I don't hold anything against them. And if my mom hit me today, I could not hit her back. You know, I could not. I see where the kid is coming from. There's a respect, which is missing from a lot of our teenagers. And it's missing from a huge respect for their parents. Cause my parents growing up, you know, they really instilled that in us where you don't talk back. You're respectful of your elders. And I agree with that to a point, you know, I feel like the reason he's there causing the violence is because obviously there's violence at home or something there, you know, that he's missing.
It starts with the community,
but it starts...
And we also have this tribal mindset. We see all these people going out and joining. That guy wouldn't have done that just by himself. So if he sees these other people, he's going to come and join in, you know?
Right. But at the same time, I look at the mother and I think, what is her reaction? You know,
yeah.
How can we help her learn to... let that energy out in a different way, you know, with love. And I can't tell you that I don't scream at you guys, or I've never hit you in my life, but I've spanked Damien several times. So it's, I think it's per child. And some kids learn one way and another. I don't get mad at my parents for ever hitting me. Cause I was very rambunctious. You know, I was out there, you know, I was a kid who, if she told me to be there at 3, I got there at 4, just because I was just always so social and doing things, you know?
I don't know about that. I don't think any kids should have that, because it just creates cycles. They think that the answer is violence because that's what their parent taught them. They're going to continue to do that. They're going to have that do that to their own kid, and it's just going to continue and continue. But I don't think it should happen at all. But just
a lot of people were supporting her because they're like, you know, get his ass home, you know. But again, I think there's no breaking of cycles. So I think that needs to really be looked at.
You don't think there's any breaking of them?
No, the cycle's not being broken. If she's beating him,
yeah.
It's going to continue. And that guy's going to go beat his kid when he doesn't listen.
Oh, you think it can't be broken?
It can be broken because I broke it. My parents beat me, or not beat me, but they hit me. But I deserved it. I did a lot of crazy stuff. I don't even want to talk about it. But, you know, and I don't even judge them for it. I have a lot of respect for them. And I don't have fear for them. I have respect for them, you know? And I feel like, you know, that has been lost. But, yeah, there has to be something said. You know, this woman almost became a celebrity. Well, she did become a celebrity, the mom. She was on all these news channels. But there has to be something be said about how we deal with our anger and how we deal with life circumstances, right? I think the positive thing of what's happening out there is what they're not showing a lot of. You know, yeah, you have some riots, but yet you have some looting and vandalism, just like we've talked about before. But that's this very small picture. You don't catch all the people from different races holding hands. There is a huge call to action right now. People are going to the streets because there's no answers within the government, within the community. Why? Because things are corrupt and they're based on things that are from the past. Like, they're based on, I'm sorry, from very old, old belief systems. Like, Deepak Chopra was saying how Islam, the reason that they believe in the violence and killing and all that stuff is because they are trying to hold on to an idea of a God that no longer really fits the mold.
And I think that's happening with all the religions right now. You know, didn't you say that the decline in organized religion was greatly? And
all these,
the 50s,
it
right?
Started.
That's when it started. And see, now we're in 2015 and all that time has passed. And, like, we have these old, moldy thought process of the past. And it's so hard to let it go. It's like...
And if you do, you're judged. You know, it's an uproar. You know, you know how much it takes a lot of balls to walk away from your religion. Growing up Catholic, you know, I saw God as the guy who sat in a chair and thrown up there somewhere, who judged me, who said, here's what you did wrong and here's what you did right. You know, until I started going through grief and through loss and through complete chaos is when I started questioning it. If I wouldn't have gone through all of that, then I would have never questioned it, and I would have still been this person that just followed doctrine, that just followed the symbols, that just followed the words that came from a book. And because of my challenges, then I started asking deeper questions, asking God, well, if this is what you say, then why is this happening to me? You know, and a lot of us want it to be this perfect little path, spirituality to be this perfect little path of God, I ask you something, you deliver. God, I ask you something. I'm not saying it doesn't be like that because it can.
No, I disagree. I don't know if I disagree, but I think, all right, so this is my perception of the first noble truth in Buddhism, which is...
Okay, talk about the noble truth. So there's
all right,
there's
so I'm probably not going to know all of this stuff, but this is my perception on it, which is life always has an initial element of suffering or also unfulfillment. And that causes suffering is desire or craving of something. And we try holding on to things, and when we try to hold on to things, that's when we suffer because we're losing something. And so when we don't try to hold on to something, that's the opposite of craving. And when we have that thought, that's when it's just a here and now, and we just perceive how it is, and we just accept the moment. I accept here and now fully.
Surrender.
Yes. As it is right now at this moment. And I feel bad for, like, going back to podcasts. Remember when you said, when we were talking about the creation, the power of prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Remember we said we were talking about the poor African kids and how you said that you'd rather give them this thought process than belief. I disagree with that. I feel like...
Why?
Because that's still going to be there. I mean, still, it's not... If we tell them this stuff, then they're still going to go through this suffering. They're still going to experience it. But, I mean, they'll just less it. But I believe the food and the actual equipment and stuff will actually get them out of that. Because it's the same thing, like, with missionaries and when the Catholics or the colonists went to other native tribes and stuff, and they burned everything down, and they gave them the Bible and the church instead of helping them out with, like, food and other stuff like that. I feel like that's the same exact thing, and I feel like that's what we've been doing wrong for all this such a long time.
Well, I slightly disagree with that, and here's why. And here's how my thought process has evolved from that last podcast. I'm only going to touch on that, and then I'm going to go back to the noble truth.
Okay.
We always do this. Like, there's so much to talk about. So the reason why I slightly disagree with you and why my thought process has changed since then is because in the book, The Future of God, and several other, when we went to Colorado, I truly believe, and I know this exists, that there are human beings out there who are so consciously aware that they literally radiate energy that when you are around them, you literally are in, you want to just go to your knees. And like if you were in
Definitely.
The presence of God, right?
Maharaji,
all the yogis, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And many more that we don't even know about
that
will not come out. And that's the thing that we're missing. We don't have any saints. We don't have, nowadays it's just all freaking like linear.
At least
and,
in the Western culture. I mean.
Yeah, not in the East anymore. And even in Mexico, you still have the saints, but they're still not on YouTube. They're not on, you know, what people are seeing with their eyes has nothing to do with anything that has to do with your soul. And that's the number one thing that we don't realize. We're not a body, you know, that's. But I'll get to that really quick. Let's go back to what you were saying. So I feel that if I'm a person who has done the inner work and I've done the inner healing and I've done the only work that's necessary to truly be a self-realized human being, right? If I were to go out there, if we had Maharaji go out there, if we had Gandhi, which Gandhi did do for all of the poor people, I think that that is enough to break cycles for them to see that the number one thing that they have in this world is faith in God. And if we teach that first, the food will come. You know, there was a story that Deepak Chopra says about this guy who goes and tells God, you know, I really want to be abundant, and butchering it because I just heard this again today.
Yes.
You know, I just want to be abundant so I could help the world. And then, you know, what God says, or I think it's one of his teachers actually that says, you know, how do I do this? I just want to meditate so I could be abundant so then I could serve the world. That's what I always say, right?
Yeah.
If I had $16 million, which I will, I would open up 17 Satori centers that would help people with healing. And here's what it would look like. I have a business plan, you know, it's all right. But there's always this little excuse, I don't have the money. You know what the guru said?
What?
The guru said, first, you must do what you love and what you're called for, and then the abundance will come. You can't do it backwards. So you can't give them the food.
Because these are these desires and these cravings.
Yeah, so I can't wait to have $60 million to help people. I've got to be fully in my... The only person that I'm responsible for is me. The only perception of God that I have is original to me only. Even if I sit here as a mom and try to teach you what God is and all that, I can never describe... Because if I tell you that I know God, I know no God. You know, that's the biggest ego red flag. I don't know God if I tell you that I know God. There's no way. I will.
Like you can experience it.
You can experience God.
But you can't put it in words.
You cannot put it in words, and you cannot. You can embody it, and you can radiate that energy to free others. That's what I think. You know, when I have challenges, and believe me, I have a lot of them, a lot of tears, a lot of anger. A lot of, like, I can't believe this shit happened again. Like, what the fuck, you know? I have a lot of that. But when it's happening at that moment, you know the only thing I'm pissed about? I'm not pissed about the person that made me angry. I'm not pissed about, because I'm like, dude, I forgive you. Just get out of my way, you know? Just don't be in my zone, you know? But the number one thing that makes me mad is that I lost it. Because when I lose it, you know how I want to, you know how to solve world peace? Solve it within yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you know, if you want to, first of all, if you want to solve starvation, stop seeing it as evil and start seeing it.
That's what it is.
That's God.
Yeah.
Because God can be selfish. That's what the Bible says. God can be. But the reason that is God is because it's the tool. It's the catapult that will set you free in your own experience. Does that make sense? So the things that are happening to you, they're not happening to anyone else. The story and the path and the journey that you walk is not happening to anyone else. You can never compare yours exactly like anyone else. And that's what we do as human beings. We try to find the answers outside of us because we don't know what to do. Because we've never been told that we are not a body, that, by the way, we are a consciousness, that we're a soul. That's what I believe truly, that we're a soul that lives on forever. But nobody really lives it.
Oh, okay.
maybe it's just in the West, but nobody lives it. Nobody, there. I feel like more and more now here, especially, it is a dangerous point. That's why
Wait,
I'm glad.
You think it's less like that?
I feel like we're in a danger zone right now.
Nah.
I feel like I'm glad that religion is getting demolished. And the reason I say that is because I believe in all religions. And because all of them, I feel, have, they're interpreted through a man's eyes, which I hate.
Yeah.
But when you get to the core and the bottom of Buddhism, of the Gita, if you get to the real bottom of Christ, Christianity, you know, it's love. It's the same damn message.
Yep.
You want to transcend whatever the hell you want to say, whoever's body you want to put. This is what I don't understand. Like, why do people feel that their God is better than other gods? Like, who the fuck cares? Like, do you understand that you're going to dissolve your body here and you're going to go somewhere into it, and then you're going to really meet something out there? I don't know if it's God or whatever you want to call it. I hate using the word even God. It's like, to me, it's love. It's universe.
There's so much baggage
it's love.
Behind God.
It's not even a human being. To me, it's this energy. It's this energy that held me. It's a deity. It's all the saints are people that realize this. You know, all Mary, Christ. But Jesus said, you will do bigger things that I've done. You are me, you know?
And for Buddhism, it's not to be a Buddhist, it's to be a Buddha.
Exactly. Nobody wants to be you don't want to be this guy who embodied into the Buddha. It's the concept, it's the consciousness, it's Christ consciousness. You know, it was so sad hearing the podcast that said that, you know, some people think that Buddhism is evil. Why did he say that?
Because other Christians fundamentalists believe that if Christ is the only way, and that's pretty much why it's evil.
But how could it be the only way if Christ told us to love all of us, you know? So when I think of the word...
I think the 10th commandment says, pray to only one my God, and that's...
Which was interpreted by man, who also is... All
right, so it's God. So I believe every religion, every thought process, I think it becomes real. Because if we create it with our imagination, and I believe imagination is the source of everything. So if you think about something, and that's your imagination thinking about it, then you create it. So...
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we're creating ourselves in a way, but also, again, these deities, these gods, all these monotheistic religions, I feel like they're all real because they create them in your mindset, in your imagination. All right, Imagination Land. South Park, have you ever seen that?
No, what is that?
All right, so...
South Park, right?
There's this awesome three, so they're my favorite episodes, and they're like, there's this land called Imagination Land, and everything that we created, it's real. And, like, it kind of got deep into that, like, what exactly we're saying now. And so in that way, it is
Matrix.
Real, but it is not, if we think about it, and we create it, and we pray to it,
it's
and we
real.
Worship it, it becomes real. We create the deity,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is, because we create our own lifestyles, we own our perception, our own beliefs. So I think...
But what about the people that don't create it, like the atheists?
All right, with the atheists. So, and I think the fundamental thing that creates everything, though, if you really want to get down to the one only God, is this love. It's this emotion that everyone feels. It transcends everything, like we said before, that quote. It transcends space and time. Atheists, they feel that too. They experience that. They go through that. They
children.
It's fundamental. It's that basic goodness in all of us, you know? And I think that, all right, so if you really want to get down to one giant thing that the source is love, because it's the thing that goes through all of us, you know, even animals or anything like that. You know how survival of the fittest, that whole concept. Well, there's this awesome video, I think you watched that thing, where this is just going into animals. All right, so there's this pack of wolves attacking this lone injured, I feel like it's an antelope or something.
Oh, really?
But there's this also, there's her lover. And her lover was right there, staying right there and protecting all of that, protecting her from all the wolves and everything, trying to defend it. And that's never in survival fitness. That's if survival fitness was completely
right.
true, that animal would go run away and stop trying to protect its lover.
Right.
But then still, that antelope is still there, caring about that, having that compassion,
right.
having that love, which flows through everything. I feel like that's the
and that's
fundamental
God.
Thing. Yes.
But that's what's sad, that I think.
These are all right. What
Well, what's sad, what I know, repeat myself, is that there is a danger zone right now. And I think the danger zone where you get into, and I'm not going to say completely atheist, because I think atheists are people that are, that honestly, just religion is like bullshit to them, you know? And to me, religion is bullshit when you have rules that say,
oh, dogma.
Yeah, like, you're going to go kill someone, or you're going to go over me, or that God is, you know, anything but love, right?
There's a lot of atheists that do find spirituality.
Absolutely.
Like Sam Harris, he wrote a great, for example, and Sean Hayes, the guy that came on the show, he still does, said that, but he felt it, but he still doesn't really believe in a God or certain things.
It's because you really can't put, like, a name or a picture to it. You can't say it's a he or a she to me. You can't say it's somebody that sits outside anywhere because God is inside of me, because otherwise I would not, it's almost like Avatar, you know, when they turned off the machine and, you know, when they went into the other consciousness, when he went from human to Avatar, like, you turn it off and you're, like, disconnected when you're in a human form, you know? You're in a human form, you're disconnected, you basically are like, huh, who am I really? What is the truth? The illusion. And I think that's the thing that we're foggiest about, that we see through our eyes, but we don't see through our third eye. You know, I read something about how a parent's responsibility is really to keep the third eye open from our children. And that's the eye of wisdom, you know, to let them be free spirits and to let them be open-minded and to try the least possible to instill and their ideas onto them, and instead let them kind of figure it out themselves. It's hard as hell. I feel like I barely started becoming that way, you know, in the last few years, but it's all through my own personal challenges, right? You had said something about the atheist, and then you had talked about the noble truth, the first one, which said that what I wanted to tell you is that there's a big danger right now, I believe. I believe that the danger is that people that may not believe in this word called God or universe or whatever it is, that they're living in life where they think we're just random events, you know? And when you're so disconnected from grace and love, and I'll call God love again, when you're I feel like when you don't believe that there is this higher power, and how could you not? I mean, who grows the plants? Who creates the ocean waves, you know? How does this all happen? How does evolution happen? You can't explain it, but this beautiful magic or grace that's behind it all, you know? There's so many times you have so many plans, and then all of a sudden something else completely happens that changes everything, your course of life. You know, those are things that you cannot plan for, even an illness that you say, you know, I'm healthy in this. How did that young kid get cancer? You know, all of it is God. All of it is God. Every single part of it is God. But it boils down to the fact of how are you reacting to life? How are you carrying yourself every single day? I think people, and I think this is something that just came into my heart, is like, you know, I've always had this in me, and maybe because when I was very young, I was like 8, I lost, it just came back to me recently through meditation that's why I was so afraid of death, because my beautiful aunt, she was like my favorite aunt. She's the one that taught me how to be an aunt, how to love and how to, you know, accept unconditionally and commit. She loved me like her daughter, literally. And she passed away very, very, very young in her 30s from breast cancer when, you know, there was not a lot of research, and she died very quickly. And, you know, looking at her go through that and seeing death, I mean, I have this awareness of it, right? And so I think I'm going to let go of this body. So no longer is the fear of, like, I'm going to die. It was used to be the fear of, like, I don't want to leave my loved ones around here.
Yeah.
Then it progressed from that to, I know I'm going to die, but I'm going to live forever, if you think about it, because you're still going to think about it. I do believe in eternity, and I'll come back as a butterfly and one day kiss your cheek.
Oh, you believe in reincarnation?
I do believe in reincarnation. But more importantly than anything, let me just finish this. People, you are going to dissolve from this body, and you're going to go somewhere else. Why are you miserable? Why are you treating others with hate and anger? Why are you not just accepting and compassionate of others, you know? Easier said than done, believe me. I have my teachers. I call them my teachers, the people that give me the most freaking slack, the people that challenge me the most, those are my teachers. Because if I can't learn to forgive them, then something's wrong with me, and I hate it. I hate it. It's almost like when you know all this stuff, you can't go back. You can't be like, fuck, it's your fault, you know? So that is the thing. Like, if you know you're going to dissolve this body, why not just make the best of it? And why do we have to kill our brother or sister? Why do we feel like there is evil? Why, if not, then do we not go back to cooperation and helping each other? Why? My God, even if my God is Christian and yours is Christian, it's not the same God. If my God is Islam and yours, it's still not the same God. You know, that's the thing that I don't understand. And people need to start seeing themselves as that every freaking head is a universe. And that the world, the universe is not outside of us. It's inside of us. It's not what's happening out there. It's what the hell is going on in here. And whatever, if you want God in your life, fine. If you want to call it God, don't call it God. Call it love. Call it universe. If you want to just hang out and be fun, then that's what you want to do. But do it. You know, don't believe it. So does God exist or not? In my world, it does. In your world, it may not. And that's okay, too. Just be loving. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
So for a while, I agreed with you. Belief creates your own reality and everything like that. Your belief creates the gods and everything. But Jack Kornfield said that he was like, that word's kind of rugged. And like, it's, I said, oh, I wish I remembered what exactly he said about belief. But he said the better word for that is faith. The faith controls you. That's the reality that...
I love that. And Deepak, on his book, The Future of God, has a whole, like, section of just talking about faith. Like, faith can be proven scientifically. Faith is, like, literally, have you heard the saying, faith moves mountains?
Had you put faith, you could move mountains. Jesus.
I mean, all these things that we hear, but yet we still feel like we're some kind of inferior to Jesus. Like, Jesus was, like, almost getting ready to scream at us. There, you know, he uses a lot of Christ in the book, which I love. But also the Gita and all everything else, you know. And there's so many things that Christ told us, that Jesus told us. But I feel like the only thing that we get out of the religion is that we feel like Jesus is the way because he's the inferior, and that we have to follow his path.
Superior.
And that we have to follow what he says. But yet we don't listen to like 50 or 80% of the really important shit he's saying, like. Hello, you will do unto others bigger things than I've ever done. You know, Jesus. I mean, to me, that means like Jesus. It's us. I am you. You are me. I saw a thing on, I was a global movement on Instagram or something like that. But I think that we play too small. We think we're not powerful enough to live our destinies, and we don't get close enough to God to learn to experience him or her, unless you have challenges.
And maybe we also have that false perception that we are close to God, but I mean that we are that close to God, but that barrier is that attachment of holding on and things. Because things are constantly changing.
Oh, my God.
Religions are constantly... Christianity.
We're changing.
So many, of course. Through
every
like,
moment.
Through a little baby, then to become an adult. It's just like everything's constantly changing. So why hold on to anything? That's what
because
the Four Noble...
Because security.
That's what the Four Noble Truths are saying. Once you give up attachment or give up desire, then your awareness is liberated. You become one with it all. And that's what the majority of these atheists, fundamentalists, Christians, Muslims, all of them, they hold on to their beliefs and they're stuck onto that like a little glue and they can't get off.
And it hurts others on the way. But at the same time, you know, that's also why they say that Buddhism is like it kills your soul because they're telling you that you have to give up desire and you have to, you know, I think people read that.
It's so much harder than actually doing that.
Well, no, I think you have desires in this world. And you ask God, and then you, I love what Deepak said in the book, like, this is, if you really want to manifest anything in your life, just listen to this, okay? Anything in your life. If you believe, well, first of all, he talks about evil, and he says that evil is an illusion. It doesn't really exist.
I think all of it's an illusion.
All of it is an illusion, yeah, this whole world. But he talks about mind power. So he says, test yourself. Desire something you really, really want, because it's coming from your soul, not because it's coming from the ego, like not, oh, manifest a Mercedes or a BMW or whatever. You know, think really, go deep inside, and what do you really want in this world, right? And then prove to yourself that it did not take what everyone else out there does, which is hard work, you know, relationships, politics, all this bullshit to get what you want. Only use your mind and believe in it. And I did this meditation. It's called the I Am meditation. Wayne Dyer, James Twyman puts it on. It's literally sounds that are, I mean, it's indescribable, and made me just melt into the arms of God. And what I mean by the arms of God, it was just like all this light that just took me in and hugged me and said, everything's going to be okay. Surrender, 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 you know? And then also what he said was about how when you feel that others are suffering, you have to look deep within to see what kind of suffering is inside of you. Because this whole entire world is just a mirror. So Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh says that God, she always says yes. God doesn't say no. Or so whatever it is that you're feeling, whatever it is that you're asking for, God's going to say yes. If you say, oh my God, I'm going to get another bill, I'm going to get another bill, that's what's going to happen, right? But if you say, God, I am abundant, and you really, I mean, test your mind, yeah. Test yourself and do it and see how this works. But other people don't want to do that. Easier to, if I can't see it with my eyes, it doesn't exist.
And
that's how God is, too. If I can't see God with my eyes, it doesn't exist.
That's true. And when you said that when we want something, we manifest it, then we also, our mentality that we're stuck in is, once we get that thing, we'll be happy. Once that happens, once I get that thing, once I get that car, once I get that amount of money, I'll be happy. But when you could be happy now, that's what happens now. And once you're happy and you accept the moment now, that's when everything just flows and unfolds the way it's supposed to be.
Beyond your imagination.
Beyond
your imagination, because you finally let go. You're open to the possibilities. You're not stuck and constricted. Imagine somebody who's just stuck in one way and linear and going this way and this way. There is no room for creativity. There's no room for the amazing possibilities that could be. If I told you that I knew what my life would be the last 34 years, it would never be the way I'm telling you. You know, I had never planned it this way.
Yeah. Well,
however, I can look back and say, God damn, it was perfect. Yeah. You know, it was so perfect because I used to be that closed-minded person. I used to be the one that said, better not believe in any other religions. You better not, because I was scared. Because that's what I was told since I was little. This is the way. And if you don't do it this way, you're screwed. You're like
straight
done. Straight to hell. You want to go over there and burn me? Imagine a little girl thinking that. If I didn't do my homework right, I always got straight A's. I was going to go to hell. Damn it. All those kids that are rioting and looting, stop telling them this shit and start giving them love. You know? If we just start at home, that's it. All of us make mistakes. Believe me, I was the mom that yelled at my kids for spilling the milk. I was. Not anymore. You guys are like my little angels, you know? I'll still yell at you and talk shit to you. I just talked shit to you yesterday because I don't agree with your lifestyle. But and I don't. I don't agree with it.
All right, Mom.
But I still let you be. But I'm going to tell you what I think of it. And I'm pretty sure it influenced you one way or another. Because you do need. I do understand my parents also when they say, you know, I have experience. But honestly, their experience is not my experience and my experience is not yours. So I'll let you be, but I'm still not going to let you. I'm not your friend. Don't think I'm your friend. Don't even think that. All
right.
So there is no conclusion to this. Is there a God? In my words, I guess my answer to you would be absolutely. But my God may not be the same God as your God. And I am blessed, happy. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Because I have been able to experience what could possibly be of God. And based on my challenges that happened to me, thank you, Lord. And also the happy moments. When I celebrated Costa Rica and this upcoming summer when we're going to be doing some amazing things. Thank you, God. I'm just so grateful. Thank you, universe. Thank you, light. Thank you, divinity.
Thank you. All right. There's also some great things. And so get your eyes off the news and stop watching riots and everything.
Oh, yeah.
For if you want to do something online, there's the Love Serve Remember Foundation with Ram Dass. He runs in Rugs Marsik and all the... To cancel.
No.
Oh. Well, you could go online. And they have a Cultivating the Courage to Love retreat. That's in Maui. I'm pretty sure it's all sold out. But there's also a free online course for 3 days from May 1st to Sunday, I believe. And you could sign up online for free. Just set up your email. And I already signed up. I'm super excited for that. And there's also, if you are
in Arizona, woohoo!
In Arizona, Colorado, and California.
Well, this Friday is in Arizona.
Yeah, then after that's going to go. All right, anyways, there's the Sacred Arts of Tibet Tour, where a bunch of monks from Tibet and these smart men, they're coming around.
Smart men? Is that what you call them?
Sages, wise human beings, or not even humans. They're coming to your towns, and you could go to the retreats. They have ceremonies. There's chanting. There's so much. You can see these sand mandalas, which are so... Oh, I can't wait.
So tomorrow...
First day tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow is like the Green Tara Empowerment. So Green Tara is a beautiful female embodiment of compassion and right action. During the ceremony, each participant's three doors, body, speech, and mind, are purified and blessed, appropriate for male and female. Alike participants receive the transmission of Tara's famous ancient mantra, Om Tare Tutare Ture Soha. Oh my God, this is going to be insanity. This is what I'm talking about. The things that really change your life, you know?
Yeah, and you definitely don't have to be exactly Buddhist to go. Just try it out.
I don't consider myself Buddhist.
I don't know either. I'm imagining.
I'm the soul.
Yeah, whatever.
I am that I am.
Yep. So awesome. There's so much great things out there. Just go out and find it. Stop sticking to this negativity of the news, the riots. Everything's going to be great. I mean, that might be a stupid output because things is going to be rugged. It's going to be up and down.
Yeah.
But
people are signing up.
But the awareness is rising. And
yeah, but if you're... I'm so glad you brought this up, that you brought these things up. Thank you for doing that because, you know, the world is full of positivity. All I could think of is all these great transformational things that I'm going to be part of in the next few months. That's all my focus. So I really... Anything else outside of me is... I feel like almost they're like puppets that are like... It's funny. It's like a show. It's like the news is like this show of weird puppets. And so...
Controlling your fear.
Find your dharma. You know, it may not be Sacred Arts of Tibet Tour, but, I mean, be open-minded. If I would have never been open-minded, I would have never discovered such amazing things because I think the closed-mindedness was killing me. So just go check it out, you know. You never know what you'll learn and you'll never know what you'll uncover.
And then none of us need it. It's just another experience. Just be happy now. You're not going to go through these things, turned into a crazy another human being, but just be here now and just accept it as now.
A lot of people describe enlightenment and they describe God, you know, and a lot of people think, when I see God, it's going to be like, and, you know, light and all this stuff. Sometimes you see God in the child that you love, and sometimes you see God in the compassionate person helping a homeless. It doesn't have to be like that. It has to be with just love. And find things that you love. It could be if none of these things, you know, float your, what do you call that? Float your
boat.
I was going to say float your candle for some reason. I saw a candle.
All right.
Then there's, you could go bike riding. You could go, whatever it is. But find a place where you can find inner peace. And inner peace to me equals God. And don't let the words, like, corrupt you. It's just a symbol. You know, be at peace, find that peace, and then you can transcend that into the world, and we can all make this a much better world of love and compassion. Enjoy your adversities, transcend them, because that's what makes you honestly the strongest, and I am a true testament, and all that truth will come out very soon. Very excited about that.
Right on. So,
be you, love you, like Bruce Jenner says.
Get your calm center going.
Yes. Did you see the Bruce Jenner documentary?
Did not.
Oh, my God. I saw it with my sister just because I don't even have TV, but I was over there with her. and we watched it, and I cried because I think he was a very courageous man to come into the light and to just be himself. Whatever that is, don't judge him, you know, gay, not gay, transsexual, not. He's a human being that finally says, this is who I am. And I love that because I think it's going to really set the pathway for a lot of people that are suffering in the dark.
Definitely.
I really do. Anybody to me, anybody who does that is worth $1 million a minute.
And at first when I saw this, I was like, why is everyone making such a big deal out of just transsexual? Why is everyone focusing on, like, what are they distracting us from? What's going on?
Yeah.
But really, I thought about it and I'm like, hey, This is great progress. There's like this is becoming the focus now. This is human rights that are coming onto the limelight. So
yeah,
I'm glad. I'm glad. It's
and it was
Thank
from
you.
The perfect person because he really doesn't have any drama. He doesn't have drug, you know, issues or alcohol or no. He doesn't want to be called the she
really?
Yet until I think.
I didn't watch the documentary.
That's what he hates. He hates the words and the symbols. He even says that it's not that he wants to be with a man because he's never been with a man. It's just that that's not his body, you know. And the great thing is that he used athletics as an outlet, you know, to help him through all of this because he was with a lot of beautiful women and he had lots of kids, you know.
Yes.
That's beautiful to be able to do that instead of going into the things that could really mess up your life, like addictions and all that stuff. So to me, it is a that is love. That's God right there. He is God. Accept him. If you can accept him, you can accept yourself, number one, then you're okay. Everything is going to be okay.
I know. So from my mother's cooking to what is God to Bruce Jenner being a transsexual.
It keeps going and going and going. It's all about love, guys. Love you all. Love myself more than anything in this world. And I vow to try to keep the peace for the world. Not try. I vow to keep the peace. May God be with me. Universe, light, love.
Take it sleazy.
Take it sleazy, Wheezy. Hasta luego. Nos vemos pronto. Adios.